You can teach a child how he should behave, how he should eat, how he should drink, how he should sleep. But if you want to understand life itself, you must be able to tell your student or your child what is the origin of life. What are the different manifestations of life? Hundreds and thousands of manifestations of life. In what direction all the life is moving? What are the goals that the life is seeking? And the study of all the goals, interplay of goals. If Veda is great, it is because of this. A profound knowledge of all aspects of life. Those who composed Veda, they were masters of life. This is science which is not at all known today. There can be a science of living. Nobody teaches you science of living anywhere at all. You are taught physics, chemistry, biology. But science of living, such a subject is not recognized even. So when you study the Veda, you are actually master. You are actually entering into a mastery of what is living. What is life? The most difficult subject in the world is the science of living. You should be able to stand above the life, to be able to see what is life from above. Just as when you want to study what is a prism, you should be able to hold the prism in your hand, you should be able to apply your microscope on it, you should be able to observe it from above. Then only from all sides you have to see, then you can say this is prism. You can describe prism fully only when you are able to rise to the top and examine it. Similarly, if you want to know what is life, you have to stand above life. You should be master of life. Normally, we are so much engaged in life that we become part and parcel of life itself, therefore you cannot observe it. You are rolled in life. Therefore, you cannot detach yourself and see it as it is in itself. You should be able to observe. For observation, you should go out of life, observe it from above, and then describe what it is. This the Vedic seers were able to do, and they had done. So, you have done Veda, which is not philosophy. You have done a science of living. You have only been introduced, I must say. So Veda is a very huge, huge body of knowledge. But a few lectures which I have given are only the portals, a few doors which have been opened. It's a profound study of life. So you keep it in your store. One day you will study this subject also, because as I said, there are certain subjects which are to be studied over the whole life. And Veda is such a subject which has to be studied throughout the whole life. And you will do it. I'm sure about it. It is one thing, you know, there are certain things which once introduced you can never leave. Even if you want to leave, they come again and again, again and again. This is the great beauty. So Veda is such a subject that once you have heard about it, one day you will come back to it. Dharma is not a science. It is not a philosophy. It is still something else. It is something akin to ethics, but yet not ethics itself. It's a profound perception. Of the gradations of ideal conduct. Applicable to different individuals differently at different stages. That is dharma. Ethics is usually considered to be a study of ideal conduct for everybody. Whether you are a child or an ideal or whatever. But dharma is a very dynamic concept. It tells you what is ideal conduct at different stages of life for appropriate to different individuals. It's a very difficult subject. In which you already introduced, I have given you the definition of dharma, kriti, kshama, etc., etc. The 10 characteristics which have been given of dharma, you can refer to your notebooks earlier, where you will find these 10 characteristics of dharma. and which you have understood, I mean you have gone into it. The profound studies are for your whole life. You will come again back, again to dharma, again and again. But Sankhya, why did I select now Sankhya above all? You know, one of the reasons of these classes is to summarize the most important aspects of knowledge as rapidly as possible. That is what I mean by super school. Super school is a field where the most important elements of knowledge are summarized as rapidly as possible. This whole idea of super school which Mother has given, which I am reflecting more and more, is something so profound. I don't think this concept exists anywhere in the world. We are so fortunate in Auroville that you can have it, you can develop it. As I told you, nowhere in the colleges and universities, students are benefited by Veda on one side and Socrates and Plato on the other as simultaneously. It takes a lot of time before people come to understand these two trends of thought so easily as you have done here. Similarly, if you want to master what is called philosophy in India, the best way, this is my key as it were, if you want to open the doors of Indian philosophy, not Indian dharma, nor Indian science of living, but Indian philosophy, Indian metaphysics. One of the easiest ways of entering into Indian metaphysics or Indian philosophy is Sankhya. You cannot understand truly any branch of Indian philosophy without a good grounding in Sankhya. So since our purpose is to summarize knowledge as rapidly as possible without burdening yourself with so much of details, I would simply say begin with Sankhya. And also because Socrates, Plato and Aristotle, they come closest to Sankhya. They are also philosophers. They are the Western philosophers. As I said, Western philosophy cannot be understood properly without Socrates, Plato and Aristotle. Similarly, you cannot understand Indian philosophy without a good foundation in Sankhya. And it so happens that these three philosophers come closest to Sankhya. It so happens. It's very interesting. Transition from Sankhya to Plato is easier. Transition from Plato to Sankhya is very easy. Therefore, you can see that there must have been, this is a speculation, this is a thought, there must be at one time some common source from which Western thought has developed, from which Eastern thought has developed. Because both come very close together. If you go to the roots, at the beginnings of Indian philosophy and beginnings of Western philosophy, you find so much of similarity between the two. Therefore, those who say East is East and West is West is not true. This whole idea of division that East will remain always Eastern and Western will remain always Western is not true. And the demonstration is that if you see what is Sankhya and what is Plato, you see so much of similarity between the two. That is the reason when you start Indian philosophy, you will begin with Sankhya. Or this is my recommendation. Begin with Sankhya, other things will fall into place. And that's why I brought this paper for you. Again, it's a paper for North School. Not for super school, but for no school. So study Sankhya when you find time. Study Aristotle when you have time. And study by yourself. Study on your own. Now, I am told it will be a good thing if I, however, take these classes for Upanishads. And I readily feel very happy about it, because of the fact that if you examine Indian history on one side and Western history on the other, you will find parallels. The Vedic knowledge is a parallel at a certain stage of Greek history in what is called Orphism. There was a movement in Greeks, early ancient Greece, called Orphism. Eleusinian philosophy, Eleusinian thought, Eleusinian occultism, Eleusinian mysteries. So there is a correspondence between the Vedic mysteries and Eleusinian mysteries. There is a parallel. There is a parallel to Socrates, Plato and Aristotle, to Sankhya and others. But with regard to Upanishads, there is no parallel. This is a very important item to be understood. There is no parallel in the history of the world, something that corresponds to Upanishads. This is a very important insight that Sri Aurobindo has given.